following Bloodstream Media podcast is made possible by Tremo Pharmaceuticals and is intended for informational, educational, and entertainment purposes only. Please speak with medical professionals before making healthcare decisions.
We can mask it, we can disguise it, we can function beautifully, but it's still there.
You are afraid right now because you live with pain, and your fear is causing you to stop doing the things that you love.
It requires acceptance over and over again.
It's completely different when you have someone who empathizes and truly understands what you're going through.
My life has value. My life, even with pain, I am an integral part of society.
But my symptoms would be all over the place, and I could be fine one second, and the next second I wasn't, and it was just so unpredictable.
Hold on. Let's rewind a little bit.
My name is Shannon Green, and I suffer from multiple chronic pain diagnoses.
That's better. Hi, I'm Mel Forrest, and welcome back to the Pain Pod. You're probably asking, why did you just rewind that story? Well, in the first episode, we heard from Patrick Gaines, a Colorado native with chronic regional pain syndrome. Through his journey, we learned when his pain began, where it took him, and how it continues to influence his life today. The full journey. In this episode, we will hear from five different people who experience chronic pain and explore that first moment, that realization of when pain began. Starting from the beginning can seem like a given. You wouldn't start cooking a meal in the middle of a recipe, right? So why start in the middle of someone's journey? When it comes to others, do we really know their full story? Sure, we may know a piece, a moment, an event, or even a chunk of time, but we don't always have the larger picture. The beginning of a story doesn't need to define it, but it can influence the journey. This is also true of chronic pain. Join us as we continue our journey, where we hear five different stories from individuals who experience chronic pain. And what better place to start than at the beginning?
Neuropathy pain in my feet. So at first I just thought that was getting better. And then I woke up and I couldn't use my hands. I suffer from multiple chronic pain diagnoses. The first one is Guillain-Barré syndrome, which is a rare autoimmune disease. And then I also have fibromyalgia. And then I have non-epileptic seizures.
Guillain-Barré syndrome is a rare neurological disorder where the body's immune system mistakenly attacks part of its peripheral nervous system. It can have a range of effects on someone, from brief weakness to nearly devastating paralysis.
Guillain-Barré causes paralysis and severe nerve pain. So I remember waking up with my feet and my hands numb, and then it just progressed, you know, up the body. So I knew exactly when it started. So then I went to an urgent care and they gave me some pain pills and sent me home. And then the next day I was worse. So I called my primary doctor and he told me, you know, you need to see a neurologist immediately. Well, usually it's a three to six month wait to get into a neurologist in most places in the US. And luckily I had been to this neurologist once years and years ago. So I wasn't considered a new patient, but he cleared his schedule and got me in and then came to visit me every day in the hospital. So I don't think I'd be walking today if it wasn't for that doctor. I had the fibromyalgia before, but it was back when there wasn't that much known about fibromyalgia. And it's a condition where you look fine, but you feel terrible. And there's no diagnostic test to actually verify it. So I guess I didn't take it as seriously, you know, as I should have. But then the non-epileptic seizures, they started after the Guillain-Barré, the stress of trying to learn to walk again. and just living in this new normal of chronic pain, then that's when the non-epileptic seizures started.
Some pain beginnings start with an exact moment, an inciting incident that provides a diagnosis that affirms the pain. But sometimes, that reason for pain isn't so clear.
My name is April, and I have multiple chronic pain conditions. I have chronic back pain, fibromyalgia, lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, and chronic migraines. Definitely after the birth of my daughter, who's 11, that's when it was really kind of out of control at this point. So she was born in 2009. So I would say around 2011 was when I started going to the doctors complaining like, hey, something's going on here. I don't know what it is, but I can't continue to live my life like this, let alone take care of my child like this. And so that's kind of when they were like, well, you've always had back pain. And that's where the fibromyalgia diagnosis came from, was they, you know, they would touch certain points and they're like, does that hurt? Does that hurt? And I'm like, yes, that hurts. And I had been just kind of tolerating it at that point, but it began to affect my job. And so that's when it was like, all right, something weird's going on here. My joints can't hurt like this for, you know, for reasons that I can manage at home. I don't want to continue. Let's try this pill. So I went to a rheumatologist and he kind of ran a whole bunch of blood work and stuff. And he's like, yeah, this isn't your lupus. Your lupus is controlled. This is rheumatoid arthritis. And he showed me an ultrasound of my joints. And I was just like, so what am I looking at? And he's like, well, this is where your joints are. And this is all inflammation up here. This shouldn't be here. And I'm like, oh. So I kind of had that aha moment with that doctor. It was kind of nice because other providers, they like, oh, you want pain pills. Oh, you want pain pills. And it's like, no, I take plenty of meds a day. I don't want to just pop another pill. I don't. If there was some miracle for like all of my conditions, like if I could go to bed and wake up tomorrow with them all being gone, like that would be a godsend to me, because it does. It impacts my job. It impacts my parenting. It impacts everything I do.
The struggle is real. Chronic pain management is often a daily practice. Isaac Waithaka from Kenya, who has severe hemophilia A, knows this daily struggle all too well, but his pain beginnings weren't as clear. Sometimes pain always exists, and it's hard to recognize it until it's gone.
My name is Isaac Waithaka, and I live with severe hemophilia A. And the chronic pain that I live with is the arthritis. It's always been constant. There's a time that I got a shot, a low dose of morphine when I was in hospital. And that was during my circumcision. And that's the first time I experienced not having pain. I remember being really angry and asking people, is this how you feel? Like you don't have pain anywhere, you know? So that's when I became aware of pain. So as far as I can remember, there's always been pain somewhere in my body. Yeah. So when it's cold, or just when the weather changes, it starts as a sharp pain. That's the knees and the ankles. And recently, because we're in the cold season, so in Kenya, it's been my right arm. So just starts as a sharp pain. Sometimes there's some warmth on the joint and then just pain and takes. I heard someone talk about pain. When pain became an issue only when I had someone who lived with hemophilia. So I think I read an article online that talked about a guy who was 90 years old and with hemophilia. And the biggest challenge he had was just the pain. And that's when I started to figure out, maybe I don't want that part of living with hemophilia. Maybe I need to do something about it if I can.
We will hear more pain beginnings after a word about our sponsor.
The Pain Pod is produced by Bloodstream Media and made possible thanks to our sponsor, Tremo Pharmaceuticals.
I'm a musician. I play bass guitar. I sing. I play piano a little bit.
This is Brad Sippy. He might sound like he's a touring musician when, in fact, he's part of the team at Tremo. More accurately, he leads the team at Tremo as their chief executive officer.
I am a jack of all trades. Some days I'm, helping Judith write a protocol. Other days I'm working with our lawyers on our, legal stuff. Other days I'm talking to people producing pain podcasts about my experiences. And the other days I'm, trying to figure out how we're going to manufacture our product. And kind of have to move through all those seamlessly, depending upon which one's the priority of the organization at the time.
Brad started Tremo because he appreciates just how debilitating a life in pain can be.
When you can't get out of bed in the morning, not much else matters. When you're in that situation where you wake up in the morning and your back's all wrenched or your knees are so stiff that you can't move, it kind of dominates your life.
Brad often hears frustrations from people who don't understand why drug development for pain is so slow, especially in the midst of an opioid crisis.
And I can understand that frustration. I have that frustration too. It's like, why does it take so long to do these things? But, it's part of the process. The study we're doing in hemophilia, nobody's ever really done anything like this before. And, we're going to learn a lot that is going to be very valuable. Again, when you can't get out of bed in the morning, that's not really a very satisfying answer. But I think for future generations and having a durable product, this is the right way to go about doing it.
Tremo was founded with the goal of developing and delivering non-opioid pain therapies for people with rare diseases and other carefully selected pain conditions. Tremo is currently conducting a phase 3 clinical trial for its lead product, a COX-2 selective NSAID. NSAID, for those who aren't familiar, stands for non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. While this treatment is not FDA approved, you can learn more about Tremo's pipeline, mission, and the dedicated team that Brad is leading by going to TremoRx.com. That's TremeaRx.com. Tremo, leading the way for those left behind in pain.
There are moments in life that can seem normal, the natural and common progression into adulthood. After her first period, like many young women, Andrea thought she was experiencing the normal pains that coincide with menstruation. She would later find out that this was just the beginning of her journey with pain.
My name is Andrea Neff, and I have endometriosis. Most of my pain that I deal with is pelvic pain on a daily basis. So it started, right away, as soon as I got my period, I always had a really hard time, and I always had bad cramps, but you talk to your girlfriends about it and you don't think too much of it. But when I was about 15, it would get so bad that my mom would take me to the ER because we thought it was like my appendix or something. And we would go in and they would do a scan and they'd be like, your appendix is fine. It looks like a cyst burst and there's fluid in there. And so they would just send me home with painkillers. And that happened a few times. So I started seeing an OB-GYN a little bit earlier than I think my mom was planning on me to. I came to her after researching it because they were just like, I don't know, let's put you on birth control, this, that. And I had researched it and there's so much more information about it now, but at the time there wasn't that much. I remember going to Barnes & Noble like with my own money and buying a book about it. And I was like, I think this is my problem. And she's like, okay, we'll put you on birth control. No big deal. And so we did. And then when I was in college, I was having pain and I kept going to my doctor and she was just brushing me off. And my parents at this point are like, are you sure this is real? Because this doctor keeps blowing me off. And I just called my dad in tears one day and he got me in to see a different doctor, Dr. Paige Partridge, who will forever be my angel. And I remember going in and just crying on her table. And I was like, I think I might be crazy. And she was like, let me do an ultrasound. And I had a grapefruit-sized cyst on my ovary. And this was election day in 2008, I'll never forget. And I was like, okay, great, we're close to Thanksgiving. Like, can we do that over Thanksgiving? And she was like, no, girl, like, we gotta do this tomorrow because once they get to a certain size, obviously it puts your ovaries in danger. And so she did the surgery the following day after Barack Obama won. And she ended up having to remove part of my right ovary. And that was when I got my official diagnosis for endometriosis. About 7-8 years after the pain started. It takes the average person 7 years to be diagnosed with endometriosis.
Pain can affect each person in different ways. It's extremely personal and sometimes has no clear beginning and no clear diagnosis. Cassandra Campos McDonald has been an advocate within the bleeding disorders community. Having two sons with severe hemophilia A and inhibitors, she has seen the effects chronic pain can have on a person. And after years of caring for others, she now uses her past experiences to navigate her own personal journey with pain.
It wasn't an accident. It wasn't an injury. I almost wished it was because it would make more sense. But what finally made sense when we tried to figure out why did this happen? Why am I experiencing this pain? And it was getting worse and worse. My youngest son, Caleb, who is now 14, when he was 7, he has severe hemophilia A. Both of my boys do. And my oldest son is 24, Julian. Caleb had a year that was a nightmare. He also has an inhibitor. And his complications from his inhibitor, that year of his second grade year, when he was 7-8 years old, he was in the hospital more than at home. And every holiday we were in the hospital, it was just that kind of a year. And he lost mobility. He could not walk. And, you know, to see a second grader not able to walk and be pale and just, it was terrible. And he couldn't extend his leg. His pain was from his bleeds was just horrible. And we tried, my husband and I tried so hard to keep him in school as much as we could. He missed about 80 days of school, I think, minimum. And so getting him to school on the days that he could meant getting his wheelchair in and out of the car, you know, at the house, and then in and out at the school, and then picking up in and out, you know, so you see how that happened. And he needed a custom wheelchair, and a custom wheelchair is a heavy piece of equipment. So between lifting that wheelchair in and out, scooping him up out of his bed in the hospital when they would change sheets, or lifting him up to help him go to the bathroom, sleeping on the hospital bed. I mean, it was just, you know, the more I think about it, my husband and I just sort of put it together, and my doctors, that it was just the repetitive motions of all of that that really attributed to the beginning of my pain. And I did, about a year or two after that, had a slip and a fall on the ice in my driveway, and that did not help, and I hit straight back. So that really didn't help things, but it wasn't because of that, it was just all combined. It's crazy because my 14-year-old son lives with chronic pain, and every time I say that out loud, it is a little overwhelming. He has a limp, you know, he has severe joint damage because of the bleeds he had in his right knee and his right ankle. And in a time that we're living in now with treatments for hemophilia being so amazing and promising, and, you know, he's benefiting greatly from a new treatment and hasn't had a bleed in several years. I mean, it's just day and night. But he lives with this pain in this time of year when it's getting cold and damp, and you know, he sounds like a little old man. Oh, my knee, the weather's about to change. That's what it sounds like. But he's got that arthritis. I don't know if I have the word, but the really amazing part of this journey, and maybe, you know, I'm a woman of faith, and I don't want to say it's, you know, God or anything, but I think there's this crazy reason, and it's not that we don't have more than we can handle, because I think that's a bunch of bull, because we do. You know, God does. I mean, it's not because of God that we have things or don't. But I think that me having this journey of chronic pain is probably partially because I need to help him. And here I am, a 52-year-old woman dealing with pain, which, you know, by all respects, 52 is kind of young to be dealing with the kind of pain that I have. And I've had two neck surgeries and all of this. But 14, I mean, how do you relate that to a 14-year-old when that's all that they know? And so it's really interesting, our conversations, because he sees me, you know. It's just, I guess it's just kind of a blessing in a way that we have this connection that is something I never expected. But part of what my job is as a mom is to help him understand how to deal with his pain. There's not a right or a wrong way, but trying to help him have hope, because my messages are always about hope, is we have to find the hope in all of this, and we have to find the positive. So yeah, it's been a really interesting journey, but I'm glad that I'm able to help give words to him for his understanding of what this pain is for him.
Whether it's an exact moment, a series of moments, an inclination, or the desire for more answers, each of these stories has a unique and personal beginning. And that beginning will influence the rest of their journey. We continue with Shannon, April, Isaac, Andrea, and Cassandra learning more about what chronic pain feels like on episode 3 of The Pain Pod. The Pain Podcast is written and hosted by me, Mel Forrest, produced and edited by Greg Holdsman, artwork by Ryan Gielen and Christina Newhart, post-production support from Joshua Sterling Bragg, Rob Bradford, and Ava Friedman, and executive produced by Patrick James Lynch. The Pain Pod is produced by Bloodstream Media and presented by Tremo Pharmaceuticals. Learn more about Tremo and the work they're doing to help alleviate pain by visiting TREMEAURX.com. And as always, if you like this episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and share The Pain Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Mel Forrest, and we'll be back next time with episode 3 of The Pain Pod.